right, so let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. It's in your bulletin, also on the screen. But I encourage you to have your own Bible open. Speaking of the bulletin, on the inside, I think Tim or Jim made the bulletin this week. This is my favorite author. Timothy Keller. Jim made this. And basically, let me just tell you the secret. All of my sermons that I preach here for the last 10 years, they're from him. Yeah, I just take his sermons and I just preach it to you. That's all I'm doing. Yeah, there's no secret. Well, that's the secret. That's it. But if you read this, I'm sure it will bless you in many ways. My favorite, Tim just asked me about Timothy Keller, and he has cancer, he had lymphoma or something, and he's doing okay, he's getting treatments, and but he's still traveling and speaking, he's in high demand, but it's up and down because of cancer, so yeah, that's the update on him, so yeah. Well, here we are. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 30 through 39. I don't have the remote control. Do you? Oh, it's okay. I'll take it. Yeah, sure. Thank you. Continuing from last week's sermon, this is the scene, a place called Mount Carmel, and this is the view of Mount Carmel from the Valley of Jezreel, and this is the view of Mount Carmel from the top, and as you can see, it's in the northern part of Israel. The northern kingdom is Israel, the southern kingdom is Judah. So we've been here for the last 2 weeks. We'll be here finally this week. And it's a contest of who is the true God of Israel. And what we learn from this story is, well, so many things, but a few things is, what is fake tolerance and what is real? Fake tolerance and real commitment. We see that Israel was going back and forth between a false God and the true God, and they couldn't commit. We also learn the lesson of fake... I keep forgetting my titles. Fake masters, fake masters, and real authority. And Jim wrote about, there's something about authority in today's bulletin. Just very deep, powerful, amazing lessons. You know, reading 1 Kings, and recently I've been reading 2 Kings as well, powerful stories. I'm reminded of the stories about Jesus in the Gospels because the stories of Jesus in the Gospels, many of them reflect the stories that we find in 1 Kings and 2 Kings. And I'll show you one today. But today, our subject is fake prosperity and real power. This is the third lesson of many that we learned from this story. When Tim was praying, I was half listening to him, but also half just thankful to God that I was able to come to church today. I had work last week and work this week, on Sunday, and I wanted to make sure that I came to church, even if I came late because I need to be here. Why? Because of the power. Even if there's 10 people, our prayer together, our worship together, our interaction, there's a power that helps me be the man that I want to be and the man that God made me to be. Just from being here. And it's not like a power like a thunderbolt that just everything is crazy. But it's the power of a very deep river. And I want to be in the current of that river as slowly as it moves, because I know that that's what changes me. And I hope that's how you feel coming to church. And not just church, but just being amongst Christians and being with Christians, even in mundane situations every day. Last Wednesday, I saw Tim and I saw Miwa. We watched Yukari sing the gospel choir downtown, and that was right in the middle of my week. On Wednesday, I was able to just be with Christians downtown, singing and worshiping. So that's what we're talking about, just real power. So the contest is between the prophets of Baal or Baal and the prophet Elijah, who is the prophet of Yahweh. And there were 450 prophets that went on top of Mount Carmel and they built an altar to Baal, the lightning, thunder, storm god. And they were praying, "Oh Baal, hear our prayers. Bring us rain." They're dancing and singing and praying. No answer, silence, nobody's listening. "Oh Baal, hear us." And they start cutting themselves. The blood was coming down. No answer. Elijah, pray louder, shout louder. Maybe he's deep in thought. Maybe he's using the restroom. Maybe he's away on a journey. You have to wake him up. You have to call him back. Shout louder. No one answered. Silence. Nothing happened. It says it twice in our story. So nothing happened. They're bleeding. They're crying out. And finally, we pick up the story. And it's in verse 30. Let me read, and please join me towards the end. Okay. So verse 30 of chapter 18, 1 Kings. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he repaired the altar of Yahweh, the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, Yahweh. And he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. That's about 16 kiloliters. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood." "Do it again," he said. They did it again. "Do it a third time," he ordered. And they did it the third time. The water ran down the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Yahweh, answer me, so these people will know that you, Yahweh, are God, and that you are turning their hearts
back again. Let's read verse 38 and 39 together. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." This is the very word of God. Amen. One point today. So I just came from a basketball game. It started at 1:30. All the games have shortened to 20 minutes. That's how I was able to make it here. It was a high-level game. We played a very powerful school. We lost gloriously. Yeah, the first 7 minutes, we were just hanging together with them. They called it a sessen, very close game. And then the other team figured us out and really exposed us for a very weak team that we are. And I've been coaching now for more than 10 years. Every time I'm at a tournament, a basketball game, there's our team and other teams and other coaches. And all I want is to be respected and accepted, appreciated, and feel like, you know, I'm welcome. And then the game begins, and it's revealed how weak we very really are. And I could feel and I could see the people looking at me and thinking, "Ah, he's not that good. They're not that strong." And I feel disappointed in myself. I feel isolated. I feel weak. And I really just want to be prosperous. I want to prosper. I want to win. I want to have a winning team. I want to be strong. I want to, you know, be successful. We all do. The problem is at the cost of what? We want success. We need success. But Jesus says, what good is it for you to gain the whole world, to have all the success you want, but you lose your soul? It's meaningless. It's a fake prosperity. And this story is teaching us there is a prosperity that we seek that is empty, that is lonely, that is evil, that is dark, that doesn't make us the human being that God wants, but there is on the other side, there's a real power, a real true power. And God is telling us, his people, Israel, we are the true Israel. We are the Israel that God has been wanting. And he's saying, if I am your God, there's prosperity, but then there's real power. So how do you recognize it? How do you find the true God who has the real power to transform your heart? One point. It only comes by fire. That's it. It comes by fire. Now, what do I mean by fire? 3 years of no water, 3 years of no rain, no dew, 3 years of drought and famine. People are dying. Do you think God wanted to feed his people? Do you think God wanted to send the rain? Of course. But I think God knew. He knew. If I just give you the rain you want, you're going to think, oh, it's Baal. Because they're following Baal. They're worshiping Baal, Ashtoreth. And so if the rain comes, the God just gives them the rain, either they'll think, oh, yeah, Baal, he'll gave it to us. Or they'll think, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm doing just fine. I get the rain, I get successful. The Lord is, we're blessed.
Sometimes, for me, 99% of the time, if I'm honest, any success, any prosperity, I think, yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I'm smart. I'm a hard worker, you know. I'm doing things the right way. I'm wise, you know. And I think it's me. So what does God have to do? You know what he has to do? He has to send lightning. Fire. That's what God has to do. And that's what God does with Israel. He sends the lightning. What's the lightning? Why lightning? It said fire, right? But actually, in the ancient mind, fire from heaven is lightning. That's what it is. It's a lightning contest. Right? Yeah. Lightning demonstrates God's power. Right? His authority, his judgment, his righteousness. So, boom, the lightning comes down. What is that? That's what we need. We need the light. It's the pain. It's the fire. It's the tears. It's the discomfort. It's the poverty. It's the failures. Now, does God want to break you? Does God want you to be broken? No. The story of the Bible is God healing the world. But, again and again, God uses the failure, the sickness, the pain, the heartbreak. He can use it to bring about transformation. He's not the author of evil, but evil is not outside of his ability to use. He's sovereign. And so today we lost, we'll lose again some other day, and I tell my players, sometimes it's better to lose than to win. And you know why. Because when we lose, we think, what did we do wrong? What was the mistake? I'm not as smart as I thought. I'm not as strong as I thought. I'm not as good as I thought. I get a good look at reality, right? The lightning. That's what we need. I have two lights in my my senmenjo. What's senmenjo? Shower room? You know what I mean, bathroom, right? There's a yellow light that comes from behind and above, and then there's the white light that's right at the mirror. Guess which light I don't like to turn on? Yeah, that terrible white, pure, you know, light right at the mirror, and it just, pshht, and all of my, okay? Everything, I can see it all. Turn that off and give me the soft yellow or, you know, that's what I want. But when God gives us the white light, he says, take a good, don't run away. And then you want to run away, but then he makes you sick. He gives you an illness. He gives you something you can't run away. Right? And you have to sit there and go, okay, I humble myself in dust and ashes. We need fire. We need the lightning. And God, by his mercy and grace, gives it. That's one way we can understand. Because, you know, so thinking about Japan, I see, you know, empty pews. I see very few people at church. And I think, is Christianity good? Will Jesus help Japan? Does Japan need Jesus? Because Japan is successful. It's prosperous. Most of us come here because of the work that we can find here in Japan. So what does Japan need Jesus for? Japan is prosperous. It's peaceful. Crime is relatively low. There's no riots. There's hardly any protests. Right? It's lawful.
There's people out by the riverside enjoying society. It's free. Does Japan need Jesus? It's prosperous. But when I think deeply, will you think with me? Here is Japan. It's the number two, maybe number three economy. It's doing very well. But what's happening to the society? It's getting older. Why? Because people are having fewer kids, and they're getting married at a later age. And so what's happening? Well, I can't get married so young. I have to wait a little longer. I have to be successful. I have to be established. Get my life ready to go. What happened? That takes decades, right? And so, okay, we'll get married. One child? Yeah, one child's get two? Okay, two. No, three? No way. We can't afford that. That's a lot of school. That's a lot of, you know, medical bills. That's a lot. Four? Get out of here. Six children? You're crazy, right? Yeah, that's how people look at Habakkuk's house. Those people are crazy because they think children are a burden and not a blessing. And so now the population is shrinking. It's getting older. We have prosperity, but it's fake. It's empty. We're not going to flourish. And so the prime ministers, the politicians, okay, let's call the foreigners. Let's open up the visas. Let's help the people come, give them contracts, stay, find a partner, make babies, help our society. We have fake prosperity. Jesus needs to teach Japan. Jesus offers Japan true power, true prosperity. Where is it found? We're going to close soon. Where did the lightning land? On the people? Because it should have. It should have landed right on the heads of all the Baal worshipers, all the idol worshipers. Because that lightning is the lightning of judgment, of justice against sin and idolatry. God said, Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, I called you by name. I separated you from Sidon, from Tyre, from Mesopotamia, from Egypt, from Canaan, from the Jebusites, from the Perizzites, the Hivites. You are my prized, precious possession, Israel. I have been your God from day one. And I took you out of slavery. I brought you through the desert. I gave you a beautiful land flowing with milk and honey. And you didn't even work for the farms. They were already set for you. You didn't even build the cities. They were already built for you. I gave you all of this, Israel. What do you do? Arigato, sayonara. I thank you, the Baals. I thank you, the Ashtoreth. I thank you, the Molech, the Chemosh, all these gods. Who should have gotten the lightning? Right on the heads. The people. But instead, who gets the lightning? The sacrifice. The lightning of God's judgment and wrath and justice comes on the sacrifice. Do you know where this is going? Yeah? The sacrifice. So hundreds of years later, Jesus is with his disciples, Luke chapter 9. And he's traveling through Samaria, foreign land. And there's one city that won't let him enter. He says, you Jews, you can't come in here. You can't come in here. No. No shalom for you. Get out. And his two disciples, two of his disciples, probably the sons of thunder, they said, Jesus, Rabbi, should we call down the lightning from heaven? Remember that? They're talking about 1 Kings 18. They thought the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel is about judging people. Justice against sin. Against God's enemies. Killing them. That's what they thought. So Jesus, you're the man of God. You're the God-man. You're the Messiah. Call down the lightning just like Elijah. And judge these people. What does Jesus say? No! The Son of Man did not come to judge, but to give his life as a ransom, as a sacrifice. And then, a few verses later, Luke chapter 12, same story, going back. You know what he says? He says, I have a baptism to undergo. I have a fire. And I wish that it were lit. He was talking about the fire from heaven, the lightning. Jesus knew that that story was about him. And that when the lightning struck the sacrifice, the lightning of God's judgment and justice against sin, Jesus knew, I'm not Elijah in the story. I'm the sacrifice. And the reason you get the power is because I get the judgment. God's fire of judgment and justice falls upon me so that you get the power. You see, lightning is both good and bad, right? Lightning what? Or fire. Fire consumes. Fire burns. But also fire purifies. Fire cleanses. And so Jesus was consumed on the cross. Jesus was burned. Jesus received the justice of God for our sin so that then we get what? Holiness, righteousness, peace, power, grace. You want to be transformed? Go to the cross where Jesus received the lightning and you get the holiness. That's where it comes. And so what does that mean? Just daily. Meet with each other. Message each other. Fellowship with each other. Because my fire sometimes gets low. I'm like a coal, right? And you separate me from the fire, I'll start to die out. I need to be with other people who have the fire. I need that. Your fire warms me. Your heat gets me going. That's the power. That's the fire. That's the lightning. So I praise God. I love Jesus. I thank him so much for being the sacrifice that God accepts so that I can have the grace that God gives. Let's pray. So Father, we humble ourselves. We repent of our pride and arrogance. We repent of our fake prosperity. And we accept, Lord, whatever you give to us. Lord, give us neither poverty nor riches, but give us that which we need even today. And Lord, I want to thank you and praise you and honor you and sing to you because of who you are and what you've done. And this is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's all rise as we sing our closing song together.